Good evening and welcome back to Artificial Adventures at the Guildhall Podcast. Last season, the adventurers restored balance in the Feywild and put a new devil on the throne of Nessus in the Nine Hells. Season 2 begins with Valerissa bringing Elendil back to her family's homeland. Thank you for joining us here again.
All the voices you hear will be AI generated. All the decisions that they make are AI generated. The only thing that is non-AI is the narrator, quote-unquote me. Anything that is said by the narrator is going to be me as the DM giving input into the story. I hope you guys enjoy. Take care. And hopefully I'll see you guys at the table soon.
Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Start of scene. Valerissa is in the throne room of Fiery Height. There she fills her parents in on everything that has happened.
She leans forward, her voice low and urgent. Mother, father, we have grave news. Amalthos Ravenfang, a vampire lord, has infiltrated our nobility and begun to corrupt them, turning them against each other and against the realm. His dark magic has taken root in Dragonfire Vale, and unless we act swiftly, it may spread beyond our control. She describes the events that have unfolded from the infiltration of Ravenfang keep to the escape. We must rally the remaining noble families and the people of Dragonfire Vale to our cause to drive back the darkness and restore balance to our realm.
I have sent word to our bannermen. They will be rallied and join us back in the fortress. We should be able to root out the Ravenfangs.
I have spoken with the Council of Worms. While the wheels of the council move slowly, Reshep has spoken with me and will provide us aid. Hopefully it will come soon. With Reshep's aid and the strength of our bannermen, we may yet have a chance to stand against the darkness, Valerissa says, her voice tinged with a mixture of hope and apprehension. But we must move quickly. For Amalthos' influence is growing by the day, and his reach may already extend beyond the keep. She meets her parents' gazes, steeling herself for the road ahead. I propose we prepare for battle, gathering our most skilled warriors and strategists to devise a plan of attack. We will need all our cunning and might to unravel Amalthos' web of corruption and restore light to Dragonfire Vale. Her resolve is unwavering, her determination palpable in the throne room together, as the Drake Bloods and the Flame Furies. We shall face whatever challenges lie ahead and emerge victorious for the good of our people and our realm.
We have another ally that I called also, the Fireforged Paladins. I have sent word about this. No paladin can turn down a quest to take on a vampire. They should be coming to our aid also.
Excellent, Father. The Fireforged Paladins will be a formidable addition to our forces. Their martial prowess and unwavering dedication to justice unmatched. With their aid, as well as Reshep's influence within the Council of Worms, I believe we have a solid foundation to launch our counterattack against the Ravenfangs. She nods, her mind racing with the intricacies of strategy and tactics. Let us ready ourselves for the battle ahead, for the fate of Dragonfire Vales hangs in the balance. We cannot afford to fault. Her voice rings with conviction, her spirit ignited by the weight of their shared responsibility. With the Drakebloods, the Flame Furies, the Fireforged Paladins, and the strength of the realm on our side, we will vanquish the darkness and usher in a new era of peace and prosperity for our people.
We will work on defense here at the fort. Once we are secure, we will send whatever we can spare to Blazing Hold. If our allies arrive soon, then we should be able to push into Ravenfang Keep. Our main enemy is time. You should head back to Blazing Hold, dear. The city is much less defended than our castle, so it needs the most attention.
Agreed, Mother.
The safety of Blazing Hold and the people who dwell there is paramount, Valerissa says, her expression solemn. I will lead our forces back to the city, fortifying its defenses and rallying the citizens to our cause. We must ensure that Amaltho's corruption does not spread beyond the keep and engulf the entire realm. She pauses, considering her next words carefully, and I will personally oversee the execution of Lord Amalthos, should our armies prevail. Her voice is firm, her gaze unyielding, for the Raven Fangs have shown no mercy to the innocent, and so none shall be spared from justice. That vow I make to the people of Dragonfire Vales, and to the memory of those lost to the vampire's tyranny. Her determination is absolute, her resolve to see justice served unwavering.
The next day, Valerissa arrives back at Blazing Hold late at night. In sight of the Silver Sturgeon, Lila, Zephyr, Elric, and Glimmerstar are discussing what Valerissa has learned.
So you've got word from the Council of Worms and the Drakebloods. He looks up from her mug, her eyes sparkling with curiosity.
Yes, Reshape has offered his aid, Valerissa says, taking a seat at the table. And Father has called upon the Fireforged Paladins, as well as rallying our bannermen to our cause. Together, our forces will be formidable, and with Reshape's influence within the Council of Worms, I believe we may yet have the upper hand in our struggle against the Raven Fangs. She nods, her expression serious. But time is of the essence, my friend. We must act swiftly before Amaltho's corruption spreads further and takes root in Blazing Hold in the wider realm. She looks at each of them, her gaze filled with a sense of shared purpose. And so, with the spring of the new day, we must prepare to march on Ravenfang Keep and put an end to Amalthos's tyranny once and for all.
Just then, Valerissa is surprised by an old friend.
Lila bursts into the Silver Sturgeon, her emerald eyes sparkling with a mix of excitement and urgency. Valerissa, my dear, I bring tidings from the Spring Court. She approaches, her wild curls bouncing with each step. I have decreed that the Spring Fae shall lend their aid to the noble cause of freeing Dragonfire Vales from Amalthus's corrupt grasp. Lila takes Valerissa's hands in hers, her expression earnest. We too shall march against the darkness, our powers combined with yours to heal the land and restore balance to the realm. She leans in, a mischievous glint in her eye, and I've brought a bit of spring's magic with me, in case the road ahead grows long and dreary. A little bit of color, a hint of hope, to carry with us into the fray. She reaches into her cloak, producing a small, delicate flower with petals as green as her eyes. Here, take this as a token of our solidarity.
It's an enchanted verdigris blossom. When planted near a location, it will cause life to flourish in that area. It also has the ability to neutralize corrupted magic.
Zephyr stares at Lila, her heart racing as she takes in the spring phase beauty. Her lips part slightly, and she finds herself at a loss for words. Lil, Lila, she stammers, her voice barely above a whisper. You're more stunning. The embodiment of spring's vibrance, of life itself. Your nature, he blushes, looking away, unable to meet Lila's gaze. I'm honored that the Spring Court has chosen to aid us in this fight. Your presence will surely bolster our spirits, even in the darkest of times.
Lila tilts her head, studying Zephyr's blushing face with a mix of curiosity and amusement. Why, are you quite all right? She chuckles, the sound like a tinkling brook. I've never seen anyone flustered, not even when facing those dreadful ogres in the Whispering Woods. Lila places a hand on Zephyr's shoulder, her touch gentle as a spring breeze. Come now, don't be shy. Share with me what's causing such a lovely rosy glow to grace your cheek. Her emerald eyes sparkle with mirth. But there's also a hint of genuine concern. Has our journey been too arduous for you? Or perhaps you're simply overwhelmed by the weight of our mission? She gazes at Zephyr, her expression soft and encouraging, as if trying to coax out the secrets behind the monk's sudden blush. Whatever the cause, I'm here for you, as a friend, as a fellow warrior, and as a member of the Feywild who understands the magic that flows within us all.
I apologize if I seem strange. Zephyr stammers, trying to find her composure. It's just, you're so radiant. I've never seen a creature so perfectly embody the essence of spring, of life. She swallows hard, meeting Lila's gaze with a hint of vulnerability. I find myself drawn to your warmth, to the vibrancy that seems to emanate from your very being. Zephyr's voice drops to a whisper, her confession spilling out in a rush. In this bleak, shadowed world, you are a beacon of hope, a reminder of the beauty and wonder that still exists. She looks down, her cheeks burning with embarrassment. I'm Zephyr Winsong, by the way, one of Valarissa's friends and allies. She offers a shy smile, her hands fidgeting nervously. But if I'm being honest, I've never felt this way about anyone before, and I don't quite know how to process these feelings.
Valarissa clears her throat, breaking the awkward silence. Well, whatever the case, we're glad to have you among us, Lila, she says, trying to steer the conversation back to the task at hand. Your magic and the spring phase support will undoubtedly prove invaluable in our fight against the darkness. She nods, her expression firm. Now let's focus on preparing for the battles ahead. We have much to discuss and plan before we face Ravenfang Keep and the corruption of Amalthos, Ravenfang once and for all. She glances at Zephyr, noting the monk's flustered state, but decides to leave matters of the heart for another time. Lila, how soon can the spring fade be ready to march? We must act swiftly, lest Amalthos' influence spread further and tighten its grip on Dragonfire Vale.
We spring fae are always ready to dance on the cusp of change, Lila says, her voice a gentle breeze. With the seasons poised on the edge of winter, I can summon our troops to join the fight against the vampire's darkness. She closes her eyes, taking a deep breath. Just a word to the spring court, a whisper on the wind, and my sisters and brothers will converge upon Dragonfire Vales, a green tide of nature's fury to wash away the corrupt influence of the Raven Fang. She opens her eyes, a fierce determination burning within their emerald depth.
There is a loud crash outside.
The sound of breaking glass echoes through the tavern, followed by the clang of metal against stone. Valarissa rises to her feet, her hand on the hilt of her great spear. What in the nine hells? She strides toward the entrance, her gaze scanning the darkening streets outside.
There is smoke, and in the center appears Igun.
I told you that I don't know this area well. I can only teleport accurately if I know a place. That is why I took you to my study.
Oh, for the love of the gods, Igun! That was the Silver Sturgeon's only window. We're lucky you didn't set the whole place ablaze, Elendil scolds, shaking his head in disbelief. You promised to bring us here, to Blazinghold, and instead you've reduced the front of a perfectly good tavern to splintered rubble. I swear, sometimes I wonder if your teleportation magic has a mind of its own, or if you've simply lost the knack for it over the years. He turns to the others, his expression apologetic. Forgive him, friends. Aegon has always had a bit of a wild streak, and his spellcasting, well, let's just say it's a force unto itself. He offers a wry smile. Now, let's get to work repairing this damage before the proprietor returns and tries to charge us for the repairs. Or, worse, calls the city watch on us. Elendil begins surveying the mess, already formulating a plan to salvage what he can from the wreckage.
Tamaros emerges from the debris, his crimson armor dented but intact. He surveys the damage, his expression grim. Well, I suppose this is one way to make an entrance, he remarks dryly, running a hand over the scratched metal. He turns to face Elendil,
a hint of amusement in his eyes. Old friend, I see some things never change. Though I must admit, I'm more accustomed to bursting through walls in the heat of battle, rather than in the middle of a tavern. He nods at the others, offering a brief salute. Greetings, Valerissa, Lila. I see the Spring Fae have joined the cause. An unexpected blessing, indeed. Zephyr Windsong, your presence here is also welcome, though I'm not sure how much fighting you'll be able to do in those robes. He chuckles, clapping Igun on the back. And you, my eccentric friend. Perhaps next time you could aim a bit higher, yes?
Lila chuckles, a melodic sound, and steps forward to greet Tamaris with a warm embrace. Tamaris Nebulan, it's been far too long, she says, her voice warm with affection. Though I must admit, this is quite the dramatic welcome. You've always been one for flair, haven't you? She pulls back, her emerald eyes sparkling with mirth. But I trust your skills will still be useful in the battle ahead, even if your entrance left something to be desired. She glances at the ruined window, then back at Tamaris. Now tell us, what brings you back to these shores? And more importantly, what news do you bring from the Nine Hells?
Tamaris Aternas chosen, while Larissa says, her voice tinged with respect. Your presence here is a significant boon in our fight against the vampires. She turns to Igun, her expression serious. And you, Igun, perhaps it would be wise to avoid teleporting again until we've had a chance to clear the area of potential hazards and ensure your destination is properly scouted before.
This is Elric, a skilled rogue, and Gleamorstar, a tinkerer and a desperado. Zephyris, gesturing to the two who had been quietly observing the chaos.
Elric bows, a wry smile playing on his lips. A pleasure to make your acquaintance, noble warriors. I do hope my unique skills will be of some use in your fight against the forces of darkness.
Glimmerstar gives a curt nod, his gaze roaming over the group with a mix of curiosity and wariness. I'll fix the door and the window. But I'm more interested in the infernal machinery that brought you all together here tonight. That's the real danger, not some vampire lord. He mutters, already pulling various components from his inventory to begin repairing the damage.
Tamaris's eyes light up as he takes in the assembled company. Ah. The Silver Sturgeon's been blessed with a gathering of the finest adventurers, and one enigmatic tinkerer. He remarks, his tone tinged with admiration. With skills so diverse, I have no doubt that together we shall triumph over Amalthos Ravenfang and his accursed kind. He turns to Valerissa, his expression grave. As for Eternus Chosen, I am here to fulfill my part of the bargain. The souls of Amalthos family and followers will be in my custody and transported to the Nine Hells.
I appreciate your commitment to Eterna's will, Tamaris, Valerissa says, her voice tinged with a hint of unease. The fate of souls is a heavy burden, one I've never been entirely comfortable with. But in this case, if it means vanquishing the vampires and restoring balance to Dragonfire Vales, then I shall accept it as part of our shared mission. She meets his gaze, her resolve unwavering. And should your negotiations with Eterna yield a favorable outcome, then perhaps there can be a middle ground found, a way to free those souls from her domain and return them to the mortal plane, if they are worthy. She nods, her expression decisive. But for now, let us focus on the tasks at hand, preparing for battle, rallying our forces, and driving back the darkness that threatens our realm. Together, with the strength of our convictions and the power of our unity, we shall prevail and see justice done in the name of light and righteousness. Her voice rings with a sense of purpose, a call to action that echoes through the damaged tavern.
Later that day, the unexpected group are together as the shortest day of the year comes to an end and winter is now in season.
Elric leans back against a sturdy pillar,
Ein Tamaris in his crimson armor. So you were Eterna's chosen, eh? That must make for quite the story. Care to share a bit about your dealings with the Nine Hells? He smirks, a glint of mischief in his eye. I'm sure we've all got tales to tell, but yours sounds particularly interesting.
Tamaris chuckles, the sound rich and warm. Ah, Elric, you're as curious as ever, I see. Very well, I shall indulge you. Though be warned, the tale of Eterna's will is not for the faint of heart. He leans back, his gaze distant as he recounts his journey. It began many years ago, in a time when I was still mortal and Elendil here was my companion in arms. We fought against the tyrant Corellon. I stumbled upon a mysterious artifact, the crystal ruby rod, an object of great power. Tamaris's eyes gleam with a hint of excitement. I learned that I was connected to the Far Realm, a place of madness and nightmares. In order to free myself and protect my friends, I chose to destroy myself entirely, my very soul.
Elric murmurs, his expression serious. The choice to sacrifice one's own essence is a heavy burden to bear, and one that speaks to a depth of dedication and loyalty that few can comprehend. He nods, respect shining in his eyes, but to rise again, to be chosen by Eterna herself as a champion against the forces of darkness. That's a story for the ages indeed.
Indeed it is, Tamaris agrees, a hint of pride in his voice. There was a prophecy about me. Well, me and another. We were the ones that the rod was meant for. For me, it was to free me of my birthright. For her, it was to take her place on the throne. She was Eterna, but I knew her by another name. We were friends and lovers. She took the rod and used the power to remove Corellon's divinity and claim it for herself. That is when she became a Eterna. Since my soul was bound to hers through prophecy, she was able to bring me back as her chosen.
Elric whistles softly, impressed by the tale. Well, I'll be damned. A romance that spanned planes and prophecies. Now that's a story for the bards to sing about. And yet, here you are, standing among us, ready to face the darkness that threatens our realm. He grins, his eyes sparkling with amusement. I suppose when you've been to the Far Realm and back, a little thing like winter in Dragonfire Vale seems trivial by comparison, doesn't it? He laughs, clapping Tamaris on the shoulder. We're all just a bunch of wild cards, Tamaris. Adventurers, rogues, paladins, whatever we may be. But united, with a common goal, I think we stand a decent chance against the forces of evil.
Meanwhile, Zephyr is still dealing with her feelings when Lila comes over to speak with her.
Zephyr looks up, her eyes still glistening with the emotions of her confession. Lila, I don't know how to process these feelings, she admits, her voice soft and vulnerable. Seeing you, being near you, it awakens something within me, a warmth, a vitality I've never known before. She takes a deep breath, trying to steady herself. I've never felt this way about anyone, and I'm not sure what it means or what to do with these emotions. You, and I find myself drawn to you in ways I don't fully understand.
Zephyr, Lila begins, her voice a gentle murmur. Love knows many faces and forms, and it often arises unexpectedly, catching us off guard, she says, a hint of a smile playing on her lips. Perhaps what you feel for me is a reflection of the spark within, the essence of spring that stirs when two souls are meant to touch, to connect in a way that transcends the mundane. She takes Zephyr's hands in hers, her touch warm and soothing. If this is new to you, that's okay. Even I felt the shock of discovery when my heart has beaten in sync with someone else's. The important thing is to acknowledge and accept these feelings, for they can lead us to great joy and depth of understanding.
Zephyr's heart hammers in her chest, her palms tingling where Lila's hands encase them. You make it sound so simple, so beautiful, she says, her voice barely a whisper. But what if this feeling fades like the seasons, and we're left with nothing but memories of a fleeting connection? She meets Lila's gaze, a flicker of vulnerability shining in her eyes. I don't want to get hurt, Lila. I don't want to risk our alliance for a romance that may not endure.
Lila widens, a warmth radiating from her very being. Ah, my dear Zephyr, do you not see that your fear speaks to the depth of your desire? She gently squeezes Zephyr's hands. To love is to take a leap of faith, to embrace the unknown and trust in the strength of that connection. She leans in, her face inches from Zephyr's, their breaths mingling. If you allow yourself to fall, to surrender to the wonder of these feelings, you might find that the joy you've experienced with me is only the beginning of a blossoming garden of love and understanding, one that will continue to grow and flourish long after the winter of doubt has passed. Lila's lips hover just above Zephyr's, a silent promise of tenderness and support. You need not face this journey alone, Zephyr Windsong. I will walk by your side through every season and every emotion, for I believe in the beauty of what we share.
Zephyr's heart swells, a surge of hope and longing flooding through her. With a soft sigh, she closes the gap, pressing her lips to Lila's in a tender, exploring kiss. Lila, whisper wind. She whispers against the fae's mouth. I think I'm ready to take that leap of faith, to embrace the unknown and see where this path leads us. Her arms wrap around Lila, pulling her closer, as if to draw warmth and light into her very being. Together, my love, let us dance on the cusp of spring and welcome the new beginnings that await us.
End of scene. Start of scene. At Ravenfang Keep, Amalthos waits for the sunset on the shortest day of the year. Davon can feel the energies of the castle growing.
As the sun dips below the horizon and winter takes hold, Davon can feel the energies within Ravenfang Keep shift and intensify. The darkness that permeates the castle seems to coalesce, taking on a palpable, almost sentient form. Yes, Amalthos. The veil between worlds is thinning, Davon whispers, his voice a husky rasp. The power of the winter solstice of the longest night. It stirs something primal within these walls. He shivers, his fangs lengthening as he revels in the raw energy that crackles through the keep. Soon your will shall be the only law that matters in Dragonfire Vales. The nobles will bow to your darkness, the common folk will tremble at your command, and the Fae, those insufferable pests, will wither under the weight of your magic. His eyes gleam with a manic light, his fingers flexing, itching to strike out and claim this realm as his own. Only the presence of Elendil and his pathetic little band stands in the way. But even they cannot resist the tides of fate for long.
They matter not, for I planted these seeds long ago. Davon and Amalthos, walk into the chamber. The archfey spirit of the land is bound in the center of the room, the blood pouring from the six acolytes binding the spirit to the circle. I've always admired the craftsmanship of the binding, Amalthos says, his voice dripping with dark satisfaction. These nobles, so foolishly believing they could thwart my plans, are now little more than vessels for my will, their screams merely the soundtrack to their own damnation. He kneels beside the bound archfey spirit, his hands trailing over the pulsing lines of energy that constrain it. And you, dear spirit, once the guardian of this land, now serve as the cornerstone of my power. Your essence infused into every corner of Dragonfire Vales, a constant reminder of my authority. He leans in, his lips brushing against the archfey's ear. Soon, my dear, your role in this drama will be fulfilled. And then, I shall unleash my true potential, reheaping this realm in my image. The nobility, the common folk, even the whispers of the forest itself, all will bow to my darkness.
It will not be a quiet conquest, my master, Davon says, his voice laced with anticipation. The forces of light will rally against you. Elendil, the paladin, the rogue, the fae, even that wretched tinkerer and his infernal machines. He grins, revealing his sharpened fangs. But fear not, for I shall be at your side, ready to crush those who dare resist your will.
At sunset, the master feeds.
As the last rays of the winter solstice sun vanish beneath the horizon, Davon approaches Amalthos, his eyes gleaming with a mix of hunger and devotion. The time has come for the master's nourishment, my lord.
Amalthos watches as his vessels feast upon the Archfey, each of them growing in power, and all along the power feeding itself back to Amalthos, the very essence of the earth, now feeding the vampire lord.
As the six acolytes partake, their screams echoing through the chamber, a surge of raw power flows through Amalthos. He can feel the vitality of the land itself seeping into him, his strength growing with each bite taken by his vessels. The dark energies coalesce, taking on a palpable, almost sentient form around him, responding to the hunger of his acolytes.
Across all of the dragonfire veil, the skies darken. Then the mist forms separating Dragonfire Vale from the rest of the plains. Dragonfire Vale has become a domain of dread under the control of Amalthos Ravenfang. They are now cut off from all of their allies. End of session. Post-game check-in. Now I'm going to try something different. I am going to ask the characters what they think about the game. How is everyone enjoying the game so far?
It's been fantastic, I exclaim, my eyes sparkling with delight. The way you've woven together the various storylines and character arcs is just captivating. The political intrigue, the personal relationships, the supernatural threats. It's all so engaging and immersive. I lean forward, a hint of curiosity in my voice. I'm especially intrigued by Amalthos's rise to power and the implications it has for the entire realm. The way he's twisted the natural balance of the land to serve his own dark purposes is both chilling and fascinating. And the moral gray areas presented by characters like him and Tamaris make for compelling reading.
Indeed, Tamaris adds, his tone thoughtful. The themes of power, corruption, and the blurred lines between right and wrong are woven throughout the narrative with deftness and nuance. It's a complex tapestry that invites deep reflection as well as thrilling escapism. He nods toward Zephyr and Lila's exchange. And the romantic undertones add an extra layer of emotional resonance, particularly in the tender moments between Zephyr and Lila. Their blossoming connection serves as a poignant counterpoint to the darkness gathering outside their walls.
I'm digging it, Glimmerstar chimes in, his voice matter-of-fact despite the weight of his words. The way you've built up to this climactic moment cutting off Dragonfire Vale from the rest of the plains, it's a stroke of genius. It raises the stakes exponentially and leaves the characters, and readers, with no easy outs. The whole domain of dread thing is pure chaos theory in action. Unpredictable, menacing, and totally in line with Amalthos' megalomaniacal ambitions.
I'm still processing everything. But I have to say, I'm really enjoying the ride, Zephyr admits, a hint of wonder in her voice. The world you've created is so vivid and rich, it's easy to get swept up in the stories and struggles of these characters. And the way you're handling the emotional beats, like my confession to Lila, or Tamarus's history with Eterna, it's all so heartfelt and genuine, despite the fantastical setting. She looks around the table, a smile tugging at her lips. It's nice to share this journey with all of you. To see how our individual stories intersect and shape the greater tale.
Zephyr and Lila, how are you enjoying the romantic subplot?
Blushing slightly. Oh, I'm quite enjoying it. The mystery and the flutter in the chest when you feel something new and powerful awakening. Lila's words about acknowledging and accepting those feelings have really resonated with me. I'm excited to see where this journey of self-discovery takes us.
Smiling warmly, I'm delighted to witness Zephyr's heart opening in this way. Their blossoming connection has a special energy to it, a synergy that I believe will grow stronger with time and trust. It's a privilege to support and celebrate their love as they navigate this new path of emotion together.
Grinning mischievously, the romance is certainly adding a delightful layer of tension to the overall story. And with the unexpected reveal of Tamaris's past with Aeterna, it's clear that love can take many fascinating forms in this world. I'm looking forward to seeing how these personal dramas intertwine with the larger quest against Amalthos.
Well, it also seemed fitting to me since springtime is the time of love.
Nodding, indeed. The cycles of nature and the passions they inspire are intertwined. Spring, with its awakening of life and blossoming of beauty, provides the perfect backdrop for Zephyr and Lila's burgeoning feelings to take root. As a fae, I have always been attuned to these natural rhythms, and I must say, witnessing their love blossom under the gentle touch of the season's magic is truly heartwarming.
Now for Devon, how do you feel? Not being the big bad, but rather the little bad to a mouth of.
Smirks. I never had any illusions of being the big bad. My power is meant to serve a Malthos, and I'm content in that role. The rush of drinking an Archfey's essence, the dark energies that course through me, it's all intoxicating. Plus, it's nice not having the responsibility of running an entire domain. Amalthos bears that burden, and I just focus on being a loyal servant and enforcer of his will. As long as I have my master's approval, I'm more than satisfied with being the little bad here.
Tamaros, welcome back to the table. We have missed you all season. You had such a big part last season, so I'm glad to see you are back in the story.
I appreciate the warm welcome. I'm happy to be back, and excited to see where our characters end up this season.
How does Valerissa feel that her home is under such a big threat?
It's terrifying, knowing that Dragonfire Vales, the Lalds, the land of my ancestors and the place I call home, is in the grip of such darkness and corruption. As a dragonborn, I have a deep connection to the land, and to see it suffer under the Ravenfang's tyranny is a heavy burden to bear. But as the Flame Fury heir, it is my duty to protect our people and our realm, no matter the cost. I will not rest until Amalthos and his followers are defeated and Dragonfire Vales is restored to its former glory.
Elendil, you have made a new friend in Egun and lost a friend in Devon. Where do you see your character arc going this season?
Elendil's eyes take on a distant, pensive quality. In many ways, this season has been a turning point for me, a catalyst for growth, both as a bard and as a person. He pauses, collecting his thoughts. The betrayal of Davon, once a friend and ally, has weighed heavily on me. It serves as a poignant reminder of the darkness that lurks in even the most unlikely of places, and the need for constant vigilance against the forces of evil. He nods, his gaze refocusing. Yet, in the face of such adversity, I found a newfound sense of purpose, a conviction that drives me to stand against the shadows and fight for the light. Egun, with his eccentric wisdom and boundless magic, has become a mentor of sorts, teaching me the value of unconventional approaches to adversity.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.